the Record. I'm Marcy Silman. 9 inmates currently sit on death row in Washington state, but their cases are in limbo. Governor Jay Inslee recently suspended the death penalty, but the state did not abolish it, so the next governor could bring it back. How does it feel to be on death row, not knowing what the future holds? David Hyde has this story about love amidst the threat of execution.
Damian Eccles knows death row personally. He was convicted for murders he did not commit and ended up spending 18 years in prison down in Arkansas. That was until he met a woman named Lori Davis. She launched a campaign to set him free. It was successful, and Lori Davis and Damian Eccles are now married. Damian Eccles is the co-author of their new book. It's called Yours for Eternity, A Love Story on Death Row.
I just knew from the very beginning that she was someone completely and absolutely unlike anyone I'd ever known. And I think from that early age, I was in my very early 20s at the time, I had already started to feel like people were sort of interchangeable. You know, I had gotten really jaded with humanity. And then whenever Lori came into my life, she completely shattered that. From the very first letters, she had this way of describing things, just mundane, everyday things that no one else would ever even think twice about. But the way she described them made them seem magical. It made you want to be able to see the world the way she saw it, to be a little more like her. And no one else had ever made me feel like that before.
And you wrote thousands of letters to one another. And I was thinking, what's different these days, looking at the book, about a relationship that's built on love letters, as opposed to going to the movies or, you know, these days, lots of texting maybe. What's different
about
that?
Whenever we got the letters out of storage and started looking at them, there were about 5,000 letters in all. We weighed them. They weighed about 120 pounds whenever we had to have them shipped. And I think what it is, most people that have the opportunity to rely heavily on the physical aspects of a relationship. You know, people that are able to go to movies together, able to go to dinner together, able to sleep in the same bed together every night. They rely so heavily on those things that the other things start to get neglected over time. For us, we had to sort of start at the other end of the spectrum. I compare it to brain damage. You know, if a person has suffered brain damage, a lot of times the parts of the brain that aren't damaged will start to form new connections to try to compensate for what it no longer has. And that was the same thing we had to do in our relationship. You know, we had to rely very, very heavily on the emotional realm, the mental realm, the spiritual realm, all of these different things. We had to strengthen those in a way that I think most people don't have to.
Damian Eccles is with us. His book with Lori Davis is Yours for Eternity, A Love Story on Death Row. Damian Eccles spent 18 years facing execution for a crime he did not commit. I'm wondering if, you know, there's so many letters in the book. I'm wondering if you've got a favorite that Lori wrote to you.
You know what? For me, it's almost like it's not even a book of letters. It's almost like it's one long letter. So it's really hard for me to pick out a single fragment of that continuum and say that it's my favorite.
I'll pick out a fragment. It's not my favorite necessarily, but it's one that really struck me. November 24th, 1998. This is from Lori to you. She writes, "My loved one, I got the phone bill. $558. A little better, but I think we should strive for $400 or $350. Then we can get married faster. I think we can do it, don't you? Forever, L." And I was just thinking, you know, there's the mundane in here too. And just how hard was it to sustain this relationship for you guys, you know, for over so many years?
Well, things like that, like, for example, the phone. I think people don't realize what prison is like a lot of times. You know, for example, a 15-minute phone call in prison can cost you as much as $25. And the reason for that is basically so the prison can make money off of you even while they're trying to kill you. Most people in prison don't have that sort of money. You know, there have been all these studies that show things like the stronger a person's connections to the outside world, the stronger your connections to your family, the stronger your connections to your friends, to your community, the less chance there is of you ever coming back to prison. Yet they do everything they can to sever and limit those connections, you know, like $25 for 15 minutes on the phone. So the situation and the administration makes it as hard as they possibly can for you to maintain any sort of relationship. I think there's sort of this myth that things like this happen all the time, that there are all these prison relationships. And in reality, it's very, very rare. I don't think I ever saw anyone in prison have any sort of relationship that lasted longer than 2 years, you know, even with their own family. Your family, they can't stop their lives just because your life has stopped. They have to go on living, and you get left behind.
So why did this relationship last?
I think both of us were incredibly hard-headed, number one. I also think, it's kind of hard to articulate, but we realized early on that this relationship was the most important thing in our lives, that this relationship was our life work. For us, everything that comes out, anything else that comes in our life is sort of just a side effect of this relationship, that this is what we live for. This relationship we look at as almost like a living work of art. To us, that's what our relationship was. It was building a world. It was a form of creativity. And I don't think a lot of people look at relationships that way.
Damien Eccles' book is called Yours for Eternity, A Love Story on Death Row. It's a unique kind of a love story. There's something about forbidden relationships that can be a tremendous draw. And, you know, the two of you, it wasn't forbidden for you to write letters, but it was forbidden for you to be together because you were on death row. How did that factor into the relationship, do you think?
You know, I think a lot of things like that people would normally think of from a psychological aspect didn't have much to do with our lives at all. I think we never looked at our life, we never looked at our relationship as something that might happen sometime in the future. For us, we were together. She may be on this side of the wall doing something, and I may be on the other side of the wall doing something. But to us, it was no different from when you and your wife go to work in different places. You're together. You have this life together. You've built this world together. So what we always tried to do is keep our attention focused on where we wanted to go, where we wanted to be, and not feed energy or attention or anything else into things we feared or didn't want in our lives.
And Damien, you've written elsewhere, of course, about your story and your story about getting free. But for folks that aren't familiar with it, how and why did that happen? And really just how did you two end up being together outside of prison?
Well, it was a very long, drawn-out process. I was in prison for 18 years and 76 days. I was arrested in 1993 when a lot of the technology, the forensic technology, was not what it is today. And they found that after they did this testing that not only did the DNA at the crime scene not match me or the other two men that they had convicted for this crime, instead it matched one of the victim's stepfathers as well as the man that was providing the stepfather with an alibi. We also had three eyewitnesses come forth who put that same man with all three of the victims within an hour of the time they were murdered. It was all of these things which came together. The Arkansas Supreme Court finally ruled that there was going to be a new hearing and that all the evidence was going to be heard in this case. And the prosecutor knew that meant there was going to be a new trial, and he didn't want that. So they got together with my attorneys. They hammered out this deal called an Alford plea. What an Alford plea means, it makes no sense whatsoever, but what an Alford plea means is you get to legally maintain your innocence while accepting a guilty plea at the same time. And that's what we took. That's what we did. And, people ask if I had trouble with that, if I had to struggle with it. And the answer is no, because I was dying. You know, I was fading a little more every single day. There's almost no medical care in there. They're not going to spend a lot of time and energy taking care of someone they plan on killing. So we signed the papers and we went home, but our names have still not been completely cleared because of that.
And you've become a pretty prominent person talking about the death penalty, and Washington State made news earlier this year when our governor, Governor Jay Inslee, put a moratorium on the death penalty. So that's, we didn't abolish it, he put a moratorium on it. That means there's still folks on death row, and things could change. We could get a new governor. They could reinstate the death penalty. But just what's your reaction to this decision by Governor Jay Inslee here in Washington State?
I think it's progress. It's a move in the right direction. I think eventually the death penalty will be done away with, not because of any sort of great leap in moral growth or anything else. I think what it will come down to, honestly, is finances. You know, it's incredibly expensive to murder people, to put people to death. And the economy isn't doing so great. So I think what will eventually end up happening is, due to financial reasons alone, they'll end up putting an end to the death penalty. It's cheaper to just keep people in prison. You know, I do believe the death penalty is a relic of a bygone age. You know, there are still lots of reports and polls that come out that say, you know, the vast majority of the American public still support the death penalty. But I think, yeah, you know, if you were to poll most Southerners during and before the Civil War, most of them would probably say they still, you know, agreed with slavery. It doesn't make it right just because a lot of people agreed that they want to keep doing it. You know, when you're talking in theory about these things with people who aren't connected to the system, people who have never had any experience with it, it sounds a lot more clear-cut than it truly is whenever you've experienced the reality of it versus the theory.
Damien Eccles is co-author of the book Yours for Eternity, A Love Story on Death Row. He spoke with David Hyde. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.